Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 13. Very familiar scriptures. And when we were studying on the Feast of Trumpets, remember the Ketubah? Remember when the woman would say, I do? Okay. Well, this, we're the bride now, right? We're the bride. And this is our I do unto the Lord. But this verses of scriptures here, what we're going to expound on, was a stumbling block to the Jews. Because the Jews had their rituals. They had their ceremonial cleansings. They had their feasts. They had all these wonderful things. They had the law of Moses. They had all the do's and don'ts. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But when the apostles came, Christ came, they made it that clear and that profound to receive Christ by faith. And this is what stumbled the Jews. It stumbled them. How could they know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by just a confession of faith? It stumbled them. And it has stumbled many 2,000 years later. And so let's get to the Word, and let's see where the Holy Spirit will take us. Amen?
Amen?
Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Confession is Made Unto Salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. Notice that there has to be a confession of your faith. Amen? And so that's when salvation will come. So let's start with verse 9. Here we go. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, here it is, confession is made unto salvation. That's how simple it is. Yet religion will make it very difficult for you. Look at verse 11 here. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be what? Put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Greek meaning us Gentiles. For the same Lord over all is what? Rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Saved. My goodness. And that's what took place with us. Can I get amen? Before we even got baptized, this took place in our heart. And this is how simple it is. The gospel is simple, but yet man and religion will make it very difficult. So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 9. And it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
So saints of God, the word near, as near as your lips and heart, is very, very what? Close. Very close. Did you know that there are people that come to church, whether it's a giant church or a little church, and yet there's some people that are near to God and yet they miss Him. They miss Him. Well, back in the day of the apostles, they missed Him here too. The Jews here missed Him because He came for them first. And they rejected Him and they denied Him. And so Paul the apostle was then ordered by the Lord, take this now to the Gentiles. Watch them. They'll believe. Aren't you? How many so blessed to know that at one time we were considered dogs? Come on. We were considered dogs. I mean, low class people to these religious Jews. And yet, God said, I'm opening the door for them. Look at Romans 10 and 8 right here. This is from last week. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Remember, I asked you last week the question, what is the distance between heaven and hell? Now, how many can remember that? From your mouth to your heart. What's the distance? 18 inches from the mouth to your heart. So with your mouth, confession is made, and then your heart is where you believe. Isn't that something? That's the distance from heaven and hell. Oh my gosh. It's very simple when you look at it. But see, even Moses had an idea. Look at this. Moses in Deuteronomy 30:14, look at this. But the word is very near you. So Paul used this same reference from the word of God to proclaim that the word is near you. Look at this. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? Do it. That you may do it. You see, saints of God, to confess means to give verbal affirmation. That's what confession is. Remember this, write it down. Verbal affirmation. In this case, saints of God, to acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and was raised from the dead. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, we are acknowledging His rank and supreme place in our life. And here's what I love about the confession from our mouth. Not only did we confess that Jesus died, was buried, and then rose again, but He also is our mediator. How many believe that Amen. He's your mediator? Jesus. How many believe that He's your attorney?
Oh, yes, He is.
How many believe that when you sin, you come to Him? Yep. You don't go to Mary. You don't go to a priest. You don't go to your pastor. You don't go to an elder. You go to who?
Jesus.
You go to Him. Because look what John the Revelator wrote in 1 John 1:9. Right up here. If we what? Here's the confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. Did it say all or some?
All
unrighteousness. Look at verse 10 though. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him. We make God a liar, and His word is not in us. So, how do we know the word is in us? Because we know we have sinned. Huh? We know. We know before we came into the saving knowledge, we knew already that we were sinners. I knew I was. And I didn't care. But when Christ came, now the conviction came. Now we understand, we have to now learn how to walk a different way. And many of you have been walking a beautiful walk. As long as I've known most of you, you guys are being transformed daily, day by day. And so, look what else it says here. I found this in 2 John. You see, because look at, hear what I'm going to say. We are pleading our obedience and worship unto God. And we are placing our life under His protection for safekeeping. This is why confession unto God is so vital. Because if we're confessing unto Him, guess what? In return, God watch over me. God protect me. God help me. God go before me. Go, God, be behind me. In other words, He's your all in all. He's your all in all. Look what I found in 2 John right up here. Look at this. This is love, that we walk according to whose commandments? His. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess. Here's that word confession. They do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a what? Deceiver and an antichrist. Did you know there's still antichrists around?
Oh, yeah.
So he says in verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God has a full reward for you. Yeah, you over there in the north wing. Yes, God has a full. The west wing is right here, and the north wing over here. Saints, we are pledging ourselves and our resources to His control for His direction, and guess what? We get to serve Him. Isn't that something? We're privileged to serve Him. Because anyone can say he or she believes something, but God knows each of our heart.
Yes, He does.
Did you know that God knows who are His?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And He also knows those who are not His.
Right.
In this confession, it is not easy to just merely, saints of God, utter the words. They must be declared. Write this down. They must be declared, professed, proclaimed from the heart, expressing our full conviction. Not some, but full conviction. There has to be a conviction in this. In other words, you have to be sold out, and nothing should be able to move you.
Yes.
Nothing should be able to stir you away from Him. I had a good conversation last night with Brother Felipe from India. And Sister Yolanda was up, and we were saying hi to him and everything, and pray for him. He may be coming in December. And he struggled with one scripture that I had to make clear to him, where Jesus said that in that day, many will come to me saying, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And then Jesus will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yep.
So, I said, brother, guess what he's talking about here? So when I brought this up, he goes, ah, all this time I didn't get it. Jesus said, in the church, for 2,000 years now, there are wheat and tares.
Yep. Sure is.
What does that mean? That means there's true believers, and there's some that have never been born again.
Right.
They've joined the church. They've been part of it. Maybe they grew up in the church in Sunday school, but they've never been born again. These are the ones that operate in ministry without any anointing on them, and they were never really called to it.
Yeah.
But they... I'll never forget. I came from a big, huge 3,000 capacity church. And they're just looking for people to do anything.
Right.
I need you over here.
Yeah.
So people just said, oh yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that. And a lot of them, when we started preaching on the Holy Ghost, you didn't see them around again.
Oh, wow.
When Pastor Leo went to start preaching on the book of Acts, my wife is my witness. A lot of them bounced.
Wow.
Oh, no, you're not going to have none of this Holy Ghost stuff in here. And so a lot of them fled. They left. And people were getting filled. People were getting laid out. People were, man, it was a time. It was an outpouring.
Amen.
So you had the naysayers, and then you had the ones that truly believed. My goodness. True story, and I'm going to move on. Pastor Leo asked to do an altar call, and we had the prayer team up there, and there was a couple. They were there for a long time with Pastor Leo, Carl and Laura Lee. Remember that name, Laura Lee. And she came up and came in my line, and she said, if there's more for me than I want it. They came from a Baptist church. Okay? And they were, you know, they never went to a Pentecostal charismatic church, but Pastor Leo now was preaching in the Holy Ghost to receive it. And so I remember all I did was lay hands on Laura Lee. And she started speaking in tongues. She was weeping, and her husband was going, oh my gosh. I mean, the God poured out his spirit.
Amen.
And let me just say this, he still pours out his spirit today. Can I get an amen? The Bible says just seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind. I wanted the Holy Ghost so bad that I got baptized on a Monday evening. I got filled the following Sunday. It was a week. But that Saturday, I had promised my little kids, Sophia and Anthony were little, I had promised them to take them to Disneyland that Saturday. So here I am at Disneyland with them and all the rides. Hallelujah, Lord God. Fill me, God. Lord, I want you, God. I was just, my mind was in there on that at that amusement park. My mind was on God. I wanted all of him.
Yes, right. Amen.
And the following day, woo!
That's why you got it.
So the gospel message in a nutshell is confess and believe and you will be saved. There is no reference to works or rituals. So let's move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, saints, you must first believe in your heart, and that belief makes you right with God by believing who he is. Because God declares you at that point not guilty for your sins. Why? Because when confession is made, here comes the blood. Woo! And once the blood comes, man, hallelujah, he cleanses you, washes you, and now here comes the Spirit.
Amen.
You see, you know, it took me a while to figure this out, is that how come everyone that just doesn't get the Spirit? Well, first of all, the blood has to come and deal with your sins. And the only way that's going to happen is a true heart of confession called repentance. Remember what I shared last week? In a Hebraic connotation, what repent means? Repent in the Hebrew means burn up that house you were in and run back to God. Burn up that house, meaning that spiritual house, which was what? It was sinful. How many of you have testimonies that would make some people shiver? We were sharing stories like that with the men last night. It was radical last night. And so by prayer to God, you confess your mouth, with your mouth, your belief in God and what he has done for you. How many of you have testified where you've gone? Wherever you've gone, you testify what God has done for you.
Yeah.
What he's doing in your life. What he will do for you. So I found this parable that we're going to look at right now. Because you ever ask, how come I believe and yet this one doesn't believe? How come this one don't get it? You know, Jesus has all the answers in the Word. So let's go there. Because we're looking at confession, which turns into salvation, right? But then we have people in our life so far, not saying it's final, but so far, how come they don't believe? How come they don't get it? Well, let's go to the Word and look at the parable that God put for us. Turn to Luke 8. We're going to look at verse 5 through 10 real quick. Look at this. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Look at verse 7 here. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is why I'm always open up, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. He said, "He who has ears, let him hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" So if you've never read this before, you're kind of going, what did Jesus mean by this? What did he mean about a farmer went out and threw seeds on the ground? Well, he answers it in verse 10. Look at this. And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is given in parables, that seeing they, what, may not see, and hearing they might not, what, understand." So, now look at verse 11 here, in Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, okay? So, when you're sharing, when you're testifying, you are what? Sowing the word of God, and you're throwing it out. Yes. Look at this. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, in other words, there may be someone you're talking to. Yeah, really? Whoo, man, I don't know. Man, that sounds good. And then they walk away, and here comes Satan. Jesus just explained this. Here comes Satan to snatch it away so that they won't believe. Look at this now. Look at verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Okay, so now there's people. Ooh, yeah, man. Wow. Eternal life. Joy. But look at this. And these have no root. Okay, so these are, God showed me, these are folks, they want to really love God, but they never plant themselves to be rooted. They don't allow their roots to go in the ground deep to grow in their faith. A lot of them go church to church to church to church. They go, or they're not in there, or I'll come when I need, when I feel like being there. And they never really take root in their walk with God. So look at this. It says, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root. I got an amen over there. Look at this. Who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, what? Fall away. Why did they fall away? Because they never took root. Wow. Those big old palm trees in my front yard. Guess how deep those roots are. They didn't grow that big just because we opened up a hole and dropped them in. They would fall over and die. But they got roots. Look at this. Verse 14. And it says, yes, and the ones that fell among the thorns, and those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So they're there for a while. And they're saying hallelujah. They're right next to you, praising God. Hey, hey, hey. And then they get tempted and they're drawn away because something else gets a hold of their heart. Jesus has said, right there, riches and cares and choked off. Did you know that even your financial situation, your relational situation, your marital singlehood, all these things, pleasures of life, all these things, it says, Jesus says, bring no fruit to maturity. And so they will choke a believer. But here's the good news, because God always has the best for last.
Amen.
Look at this in verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is what I shared with Brother Felipe last night. Huh? You heard our conversation, honey. I said, look, brother, it's been 36 years since you laid hands on me. And you were only there at North Park for only 7 months ahead of me. And we're still walking. We're still glorifying Him. We're still serving Him. Why? Because it fell on good ground. And we allowed our roots to go deep into the things of God. Hallelujah. That's all that mattered during those times. And I look at you no differently. And I pray for the young ones that are here. Plant your roots. Let them grow. Hallelujah. Let them sprout. Let them blossom. Become a beautiful tree bearing fruit.
Thank you.
I love to go over Marcos and Desiree's house because they have an avocado tree that bears fruit 24/7.
Amen.
Big, huge avocados all the time. It's a fruit-bearing tree. It hangs over their neighbor's house and they just get it for free.
Amen.
We go over there and we get a big old bag full.
Hallelujah.
It's a fruit-bearing tree. Listen, God is looking for our life to bear fruit.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
But it first started with, in the very beginning, with confession unto salvation. And then it took root. And then after it took root, we took off. So blessed. How many so blessed to know that?
Yeah.
That God is with us.
Hallelujah.
God has a plan.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
He has a mighty plan for us.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So now, look at verse 11 in Romans 10. Here we go. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Wow. Praise God. Listen. A lot of times, especially as a young believer, we can sometimes get nervous. We can sometimes miss it. I don't know how many times, man, how come I didn't open my mouth and share Christ with them? And says, okay, God. And then God goes, okay, I'm going to give you another time. And He reminds us, now open your mouth and say something. You know why? Because we are not to be ashamed. No matter, I remember what Brother Felipe has told me years ago. He goes, when God gives you an opportunity to preach, he goes, don't look at their faces. Just look ahead. Because someone may give you like, it will throw you off. I love what you say. Just because someone gets up, don't just hurry up now. I think did I go too long? Last Sunday I did. Forgive me. I did go long. Forgive me. But I had to finish part four. I got it done. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
But look what I found in Isaiah right up here. Look at this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Meaning, when God gets a hold of our heart, guess what? He's going to be allowed to move us the way He needs to move us. Can I get an amen? How many believe that he's the potter and we're the clay?
Yeah.
Then allow him to mold us.
Amen.
Allow him to move us. Praise God. Yeah, even listen, at times people will let us down and circumstances will take a turn for the worse. And has that happened already? Yes. People are not perfect. And we're not to hold them grudges either. Let it go. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. Paul's saying that God will keep his side of the bargain. Those who call on him will be saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo! Man. Thank God for the custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship that didn't let me go. I just wanted to know what time was Mass. He goes, we don't have Masses here, but we got services here. And he got it, man, he knew how to engage with me. I didn't know what I was doing that night other than I was bewildered. I was hurt. I got my walking papers. You know, when your wife walks out on you and your family disowns you and your job is ready to terminate you, everything is falling apart now. We've been there, huh? But God will never fail to provide righteousness to those who believe. Can I get amen? God will be the lifter of our head.
Hallelujah.
God will be there to rescue you. I don't know how many times he rescued my bacon. But he rescued us. Can I get an amen? How many times we should have been dead? We should have been shot. We should have been killed. We should have not be here. But God said, not so. I got a mighty plan for your life. And I'm going to use you in mighty ways. And so, God's salvation is available to all who believe, for they all have the same Lord of all. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look what I found in Acts 10:36 up here. Let's go to verse 12 and then we'll move forward. So in verse 12, chapter 10 of Romans, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Well, you know what God is saying here? I don't care if you're Jew. I don't care if you're Gentile. He is the Lord over all. Can I get an amen? Even in this political world that we're in right now, everyone wants to be this and that over there. No, Jesus is Lord over all of it.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What I wanted to share last night, it got a little contentious in here. And we got to pray for certain individuals. We got to pray. But what I wanted to say is we don't need the next president. We need Jesus. This nation needs Jesus. Woo! To straighten this crooked generation out. Because it's crooked by the neck.
It's crooked.
Woo! It's crooked. It's very crooked. And we're seeing. We're seeing the abominations. We're seeing the days of Lot and Noah. Yeah. We know that Jesus is on his way. But what is he? He's calling the church to do what he's called us to be the light.
That's right.
On the hill. Can I get amen?
Amen.
To be a witness.
Yes.
To give somebody a reason for the hope that lies within us. The hope that lives inside of us is Jesus. And a dying world needs to know that. We need to remind them. Okay, yeah, I see this. I know you're going through. Yeah, but Jesus is the answer. Is the answer. And so in Acts 10:36, look at this. He has sent his message to the people of Israel, proclaiming the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, who is what? Lord of all. Lord of all. And this is why the Jews were so contentious, as I shared earlier in the beginning of this message, is that they were scratching their head. How can it be this easy? They went through the law of Moses. You know all these scholars, these these rabbis, these attorneys, they kept all the Levitical rituals. They kept everything in order. You know, they every feast they kept. And yet, the Gentiles were receiving the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, living inside them. And they hated that. How could this be? Because they were looking at it through a religious mind. It hasn't changed today. They're still religious folks. Huh? Well, that's right. Still religious folks. They can't believe salvation is just confession unto God. Just confess your sins. Acknowledge who He is. Look at Romans 3:22. We looked at this scripture a while back. And His righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who what? Believe. And there is no distinction. You know, I said this before. In God's economy, in God's viewpoint, and the lens of God, there's only two types of people on this earth. It's not Hispanic and black and white and Indian and whatever. It's Jew and Gentile. That's it. And He has caused both to become one new man.
Amen.
In Christ. Praise God. And we're the new man. Look, you know what? When we walk around on this planet now, we're the new man that they're talking about. We're the new one. We're the new creation. Can I get an amen? And guess what? Soon and very soon, we're going to be like a caterpillar. We're going to shed this old body away. And He's going to give us the new one. But it's still going to be us. That what's living on the inside of this shell right now, hallelujah, is still going to be us. But in a new body, it'll be sinless. Woo! How many can't wait for that? Man, how many can't wait for that? Thank you, God. Look at this in Romans 3:29. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, Paul wrote to the Roman church. Praise God. And then Romans 3:30, look at this. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith? Meaning, the Jews who were physically circumcised, hallelujah, and us Gentiles were circumcised by the heart. My goodness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And then Paul wrote this in Colossians. Look, he's making it clear throughout the scripture. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. The hope. Say the hope of glory. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as I shared earlier, remember, we don't need to go to a pope, a priest, your pastor, your elder. No. When we have an issue, we take it to who? It's right up here in 1 Timothy. Look at that. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is who you take your issues to. Every issue of your life. You take them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some of it is very ugly. You take it to Him. Can I get amen? He knows what it is. Listen, sometimes we tell the wrong people they shouldn't know the ugly. Tell it to God, though. Because God knows how to fix you. Because that same thing you're sharing with someone will turn it on you one day. When they don't want to be your friend no more. Well, guess what?
Come on.
those things that are only you and God know, keep it between you and God, because He will fix you.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
But just take it to Him.
Yes.
You got to open your mouth and take it to Him.
Yes.
Every person is confronted with the need to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Can I get amen? And because sin is a universal condition, the remedy of justification by faith is universally applies to all. By faith. How many are so blessed to know that we're saved by faith through God's grace?
Thank you, Lord.
So let's move on to verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. Look at this. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Saved. And did you know that this was in the Old Testament? Look what it says here in Joel 2:32. Look at this right here. And it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
That's not New Testament, is it? That's the Old Testament. And yet, it was prophesied what would take place, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Did you know that we're the remnant?
Yep.
How many believe that?
Amen.
We're the remnant.
Yeah.
I shared this in the beginning of our message, that there are wheat and tares in the church. Wheat and tare in all churches around the whole entire world.
Yep.
Your church could be 4,000 deep, or it could be 30. But there's wheat and tares.
Yes.
And God knows who are the wheat.
Yes, He does.
And He also knows who are the tares. But you know what? I love what Jesus said. Leave them alone. Let them grow together.
Amen.
Just don't separate them. Let them grow together. Because when Jesus finally comes, the angels will do the separation. He said, the wheat will be to the right and the tares will be to the left. It's like separating the sheep from the goats. No differently. God's going to make that separation. So this is why we can't judge someone. Don't judge anyone.
God knows.
God knows. God knows. You know what? You never know when the Holy Ghost will fall on that person.
Right.
And then they are no longer a tare. They become a wheat. They become a sheep. So that's why He says, let them grow together. Because one day, one's going to receive it.
Amen.
Something's going to happen where they'll truly confess unto God and repent.
Amen.
And what I learned about that word repent, burn that house down and run to God. Burn it down. Burn down that old spiritual house that you once lived in. Burn it down. God's special relationship with Israel will continue. Did you know that He loves the land? And let me just say this. They are about to embark. We need to pray to do a two-state solution. And you know who's pushing this? Mr. Biden. And he's in the office until, what, January? And no matter who wins this election, the ones that are in office right now are there until January. No matter what happens. And let me just say this. If that takes place, we can see straight out terror in this country. God will punish it. So, today, as we speak, 3,000 North Koreans already went to go fight in the Ukrainian war. They went to Russia, called them, and there's 3,000. Now, South Korea is sending South Koreans to Ukraine. It's starting to heat up, isn't it?
Yeah.
everything is heating up. And I think when it all hits the fan is when Israel devastates Iran. And it's going to happen any day now. It's probably going to happen before the elections. So, you know what? For the church, brace yourself. Just brace yourself. Because there's a lot of evildoers that came across the border already. And they have already set up camp. And they're here to do harm. Help us, God. Help us, God. You know, on this verse of scripture, let me go back here. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was putting this study together, it came back to my mind about the Ethiopian eunuch. And remember, no, it was Philip.
Philip, that's right.
He was quoting Isaiah. And this eunuch came alongside him and wanted to know exactly, what are you reading? And so we're going to go back here and look at this, because when we get to verse 37, many translations... How many of you have translations other than King James or New King James? When we get to verse 37, it's not there. They've removed it.
On what chapter?
Acts 8:37. Go to Acts 8:37. If you don't have the King James or the New King James. If you got something different. If you got... Yeah. Because some Bibles will go from 36 to 38.
Yeah.
Yours go from 36 to 38, NIV?
No, I've got it.
I've seen NIV taken away.
Yeah. The NIV, the NLT, the ESV, all of those are taken away.
It's taken away. Okay.
So what Paul
wrote here in Romans... As we're in Romans chapter 10,
right,
and verse 13, as I was studying, I see how critical that this verse of scripture should be to us. Because it was to Philip. Because if it wasn't Philip witnessing verse and saying to now to the eunuch in verse 37, because it's a confession of salvation. It's a confession of faith. You see this? So all the other translators removed it to dilute God's word. Because they're trying to dumb it down. The confession. And the confession is vital. So let's go to this story. Here we go. We're in Acts 8:26. Let's go there. Look at this. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. We know exactly where that is because we've been down that road. This is desert, and it is. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, obviously from Africa, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, verse 28. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, what? The prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So who's reading this scripture?
The
the eunuch. So the Spirit of God rolled up on Philip, which the Holy Ghost does for us. He'll roll up on you and say, go witness to that person. Go witness to that. Let that person know who I am. So look at this. Then the Spirit said, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran down to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Obviously, he's quoting Isaiah. We know this. So look at verse 34 here. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began, and beginning at this scripture, preached who?
Jesus
to him. He didn't preach anything else. He preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. Uh-oh. There's a jacuzzi right there.
Come on.
And the eunuch said, look, see, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Wow. Now the next verse is what many translators took away. They deleted it. Why? Because look what it says. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, he said. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's his confession of faith. They removed it. And it's on purpose. So look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now look at this in verse 39. Now when they came out of the water, Holy Spirit, capital S, Spirit of the Lord, caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, what? Rejoice. I would be rejoicing too. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Did you know Philip was awesome?
Philip.
Philip Boyd Brown. Philip. Listen, God is asking us to be a type of Philip. No matter where we go, preach Jesus and him crucified, that he has risen from the dead, and that he can save and deliver, that he can heal. He can turn the most hideous situation into a beautiful situation. God can restore marriages. He can restore children's lives. Young adults, teenagers who have gone awry, he can call them back and make them come productive saints of God. But we have to believe that. We have to believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. How many believe that Jesus can still do these things? How many believe that God still wants to save? That God still wants to heal?
Yes.
That God still wants to restore?
Yes.
That God still wants to bless your family's lives? I need you to look at the darkest situation in your life and speak to that dead thing and say, God, Make this thing come alive.
Come on.
Speak to those dead things in your life. And watch God raise up a standard. Watch God do a miracle. Watch God do what we cannot do. And all we got to do is confess that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to be sold out in this generation that we live in, because we live in an untoward generation. We live in a time of great wickedness. We live in a time where we can't even watch anything wholesome no more on television without something ramming down your throat that's an abomination unto God. We live in a time where God wants all the glory now from our lives. He's requiring us as His spokesmen, as His people, to rise up in the times that we live in this darkened world, to be a light on a hill, that we would not hide and put our salvation underneath the bed, that we would say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me, God. Brother Felipe prayed for me last night. He knows the neuropathy in my feet. He's always been praying for me. But what brought me great joy was he said, how beautiful are the feet that bring the salvation. How beautiful are the feet that bring salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And I said, thank you, preacher. This was so timely.
Yeah.
And we prayed for him. Me and Sister Yolanda prayed for him. He's coming in December. He's hoping to come. And I miss him.
Amen.
I miss my brother.
Yeah.
I told him, we're glued to the thigh, brother. You're the one that laid hands on me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage the young folks that never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He is so real. Maybe for those who are watching right now, you've never had God ignite the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your being. You've never been engulfed by the power of God. It's an inward job. It takes place on the inwardness of our heart. And all you have to do is hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the Bible says you'll be filled. How many of you want all that God has for us? Every day I wake up, I want more. I want more of you, God. Can we be honest with each other? He has given each and every one of us everything that we could ever imagine.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
He has given us a family, children, grandchildren,
yep.
Given some of us a home. We have clothes on our back. We have food on the table. We are a blessed people. A blessed people. And maybe you're watching right now. Maybe somebody has abandoned you. Maybe you have teenagers that are on drugs. Maybe your spouse walked out on you. Maybe your job terminated you. All kinds of mishaps in life take place on a daily basis around the world. But I'm here with the good news. If you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will be the God of all comfort and all grace. He will help you see you through. I'd rather have the God who created the entire universe to live in me, to walk with me through my pain, through my suffering, through my shortcomings, through all the ailments of life, because they're only but for a moment. We're not going to take this pain into eternity. This is but for a moment. Even the joy, even the gladness, even the good health, even the youth is but for a moment. But God said to my children, I have given them eternal life. How many so blessed to know that you're going to live forever? And how long is forever? As we conclude this Bible study this evening, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray for you right now that are watching, that have logged in faithfully. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is your first, second, third time logging in, and now God got a hold of your heart. And now God is saying, now, confess unto me. Not me, but Jesus. He's saying, confess unto me, for he will be the joy of your salvation. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know you guys were praying for me.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.